RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Go RVing. Away is a place that's easy to find and a feeling that's impossible to forget. To find your away, visit GoRVing.com.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace, Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV. With full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.com to find a cool RV to rent or to see how much money you can make renting your RV today.
And by AccuVitec. Dedicated to providing your family with safe drinking water, AccuVitec makes UV LED water purification systems for your RV and your home. Visit AccuVitec.com to find a water purification system that meets your needs.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes. And also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at rvfta.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking to one of our all-time favorite full-time RVers. We first met David Blackman, CEO of Aspen Grove Studios, when we hired him to completely redesign our rvfta.com website. A year and a half later, we count him as a friend and mentor.
David Blackman is part of a growing number of digital nomads, folks who work full-time from the road. This type of lifestyle is becoming more and more popular as technology allows for folks to work remotely. He's here to share the best and trickiest parts of living this dream.
You might think it's too hard to grow a business while traveling around the country, but David Blackman has built a thriving WordPress empire right from his RV. You are listening to episode number 192, The Life of a Digital Nomad with David Blackman.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, the life of a digital nomad, it is time for our latest and greatest RVFTA summer travel tip, and this one is brought to you by our friends at Acuva.
They are a great travel tip, Acuva. They are the innovative leader in building water filtration systems for both the home and the RV, and they are dedicated to providing families with safe and great-tasting drinking water no matter where you are. So you can get one of these water filtration systems for your RV. We now have one in our toy hauler, and it's totally transformed our ability to feel confident plugging into the water no matter where we are, or using putting water into our tanks and using it at
and
the
once
campground.
We got all the antifreeze out of the lines, the water really tasted crisp and delicious.
Yes,
though that first cup was a little sweet.
Everyone seriously the
water tastes so good out of this filtration system. It's really one of our favorite add-ons.
Yeah, and it was fun to actually test it at a place that we knew the water tasted
was suspect.
Tasted so bad in the future. And it was like, and the boys were like, oh, this is great.
We were just all drinking water.
We were just all sitting around drinking water and talking about it. Thanks, Acuva.
So to be a well-hydrated family, visit AcuvaTech.com.
Or you can visit our show notes at RVFTA.com and click on the links there.
All right, so this week's RVFTA summer travel tip is about making the most out of rest stop breaks and not making bad decisions on the road.
Which we've made our fair share of.
AKA avoiding the fast food trap when you're traveling. It is so easy to stop and get fast food on your way to that great national park or wherever you may be going. That doesn't mean it's the best decision for your family.
I think that when we first started traveling, road tripping with kids and then traveling with our RV, I think we did just think that was your only option, right? You're driving on the interstate, you look for the rest stop, you pull in, you get gas, you go in and you like get the awful Roy Rogers like burger or whatever.
You just publicly slammed Roy Rogers
oh,
on the podcast.
Bad. And then
but their roast beef's not that bad.
But then you just feel like junk, right?
That's my issue, is that like if we're driving 12 hours to Great Smoky Mountain National Park and 6 hours in, we stop and have McDonald's, like that's just not a good plan for me.
Right. It doesn't end up working well for anybody. So it took us, but we did it. We did it tons of times with our kids. And it took us a little while to realize that we have an RV with a kitchen that happens to be stocked with food. And here we were making like really poor food choices while we were traveling when we could have thought about our RV kitchen a little bit differently and prepped for the trip. And now we do that.
And so many rest stops are actually a nice place to pull over. Many have picnic tables, places to walk the dog, stretch your legs, and go in and make a sandwich.
Right. So let's differentiate, right? You've got two different options usually on the road. You've got your rest stop. Now, rest stops are usually just those grassy places with some picnic tables, some random barbecues, right?
Maybe some Yeah, that's always weird, right?
Grills at the... I don't know.
Some bathrooms. Maybe right. Some, like, vending machines. But it's not, like, a gas station place where you're going to go in right. And there's Starbucks, McDonald's, all that stuff. Where you get into, AKA, where you can get into trouble.
Right. So the rest stops, really, we learned to embrace them with the RV. Because if you have a kitchen and a bathroom in your RV, then the rest stop's perfect. You pull over. I do two things. Sometimes I kind of load up on like fun lunch stuff before we go. Like maybe I go to the deli and I'll get some different salads and I'll get some cold cuts, things that we don't normally have. So it still feels like a little bit of a treat on the road.
But also quick and easy.
But also easy. And I'll go into the RV and make some sandwiches. Now, while I'm doing that, the
kids boys
are
will
just
walk the dog.
Around.
They'll stretch yeah. their legs. If someone needs to go to the bathroom, they can go right in the RV. And isn't that a wonderful thing? When you yeah. pull over, you can use the RV bathroom.
When the boys were about two, I think it was when the light bulb finally went off for us, because they were at that antsy age. And we were really like, you know, they're like running all over this gross, disgusting fast food joint and like touching the floor. And it was so gross. And we realized if we stop at these rest stops, we could like throw a ball out onto the lawn, and they were running around and getting their wiggles out. And it took us a while to figure out that that's the best
now
way.
Now that we have solar, I can make coffee at a rest stop
oh
in
my
the
gosh.
RV.
Yeah,
that's
right.
a game changer. That's an amazing thing.
I know what's in my future.
Any apps that might yes. help people to find the best rest stops? Because they're not all created equal.
No, they're not. Okay, so, and there's not a one place that you're going to go to find the best rest stops, no matter where you are. But there are some options. So I actually have what's called, the app is actually called Rest Stop. And it's not totally comprehensive, but it really does help to go and to look, and I can see what's coming up ahead of us. You can see what amenities it's going to have there. Is there a restroom? Is there parking? Is there picnic tables? A dog walk area? So it is fairly good. Now, I want to also say that Road Trippers has that option in there. Road Trippers has a lot, and it really gets...
A lot of people really swear by using Road Trippers for that.
It gets better and better all the time, and it's going to offer you some alternative spots, too, that might not appear in other areas. Like, it might not be an actual rest stop, but it might be like a park or a picnic area that's good, and that's going to show up on Road Trippers. Now, I also want to say that Allstays costs money, and a lot of people run from spending 99 cents, even though they'll spend $3 on a cup of coffee. Nobody wants to spend anything on apps. I will say that Allstays has a lot of different app options, and I have paid for them all. And I actually think that it is worth
good quality.
Absolutely. Yeah. It really is it's comprehensive for whatever they are saying it is. So now Allstays has Rest Stops Plus, and it's $1.99.
Oh, that's so worth it.
Just spend the $1.99 and get Rest Stops.
We'll refund you if you don't like it.
Allstays. I think that it's costed money, but I think that everything they do is worth it. You can filter in that app for picnic tables, vending machines, pet areas. I liked it. I fiddled around in it a little bit. It's new. So obviously I haven't road tested it a lot, but I think everything that Allstays does is pretty good at this
point.
And
I would rely on them to stick around and have updates for these apps.
Yeah.
So this summer, don't just pull over and get a bunch of nasty fast food that's going to make everybody feel gross, and then you like need to pull over half an hour later
anyway.
No,
take advantage of the full RV lifestyle, which involves using a great kitchen while you are traveling on the road. It's a game changer.
All right, you're going to want to stay tuned for one of my favorite interviews of all time, an interview with David Blackman. He's going to talk to us about his life as a digital nomad. He's also the man responsible for redesigning RVFTA.com, and we love him
yes,
and
we
adore
do.
Him. So
we have a lot of affection for David, and we're happy he agreed to come on
and
the
by
show.
The time you're done listening to the interview, you will too. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are really excited for this interview today. This is a really special interview for us. We're going to be talking to David Blackman, the CEO of Aspen Grove Studios, and he's going to be telling us about his life as a digital nomad, and he is the real deal. He is somebody out there living full-time in an RV, running a very successful and growing business out of that RV. But before we dive into David's story and tell you a little bit more about him, it's time for a sponsored message by Jayco.
Jayco's J-Feather is easy to tow, easy to set up, and it adapts to provide a comfortable retreat for you and your favorite camping companions. Available in 7-foot and 8-foot wide models, it's the centerpiece of your campsite that everybody will enjoy, and it comes with the peace of mind of Jayco's 2-year limited warranty. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome to the show, David.
Hey, thank you so much. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Jeremy. Glad to be here.
I want to embarrass you, man. You've become just a huge part of the RVFTA family over the last year or two. David redesigned our website, and we are thrilled with that website. Every single day we look at it. But much more than that, you've become a friend and a mentor to this whole RVFTA thing, and you've helped us a lot in a lot of different ways behind the scenes, and we really appreciate it.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and it's been one of my – it's probably been the funnest project that I've personally gotten to work on, because it is near and dear to my heart, because I do full-time RV, and I am a digital nomad. So it wasn't like just working on a normal client site. And I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I listen to you guys.
Well, so you say that to us all the time, and we would like to – we believe it's true, but it makes us feel really nice.
I think the real thing that made you feel like the perfect person to have on for an episode about becoming a digital nomad is really two things. First, you're very honest about it, the positives and the negatives. And second, your business has exploded while on the road, you know, while living full time in an RV. So we want to dive into all of that stuff and really give our audience a real sense of what it's like to run a growing business from an RV. So let's dive in. You ready?
Before we get all the goodies about being a digital nomad, let's go back to like before that, David, because I'm sure you had a life where you actually lived in one place, right? And went to a job every day. And to be honest, Jeremy and I don't really know that much about that part of your life before you hit the road in the RV. So tell us about it.
Wow, where do you want me to start? I am 50, you know.
10.
I won't go back too terribly far. I'll go back a little bit prior. Yes, my wife and I owned a home in Scott, Louisiana, before we became full-time digital nomads and living in our RV full-time. My wife is a CPA, Lisa, and I actually was starting my web development business about, I guess, almost 2 years prior to going full-time. So I was self-employed, working, had an office in the house, a home office, and I didn't go to a job every day before that. Prior to that, I worked for Gannett. You may be familiar with Gannett. They own USA Today.
They're David, one, I've worked for Gannett.
Publishing. Hey.
It was a long time ago. We'll talk off air about that. Yeah. I lasted 3 days.
I had a company prior to working for them full time in the newspaper industry. I helped get subscriptions for home delivery for about 10 years. I had my own business. We set up kiosks at storefront, mainly in the South: San Antonio Express News, Dallas Morning Star, Austin American Statesman, New Orleans Times Picayune, the Miami Herald. Those were some of the contracts that I had. And then as this wonderful thing called the internet kept growing and booming, it just basically what I did for them dried up. Their budgets no longer, they couldn't allocate the budget for me to do what I was doing for them anymore. So they did like the work that I did for them. They offered me a full-time position to come and help them launch Deal Chicken, which was their daily deal program, to compete with Groupon and Living Social. And I did that for 3 years. And I got to be honest, I was not a happy person working, punching the clock, being at the office 8 a.m, leaving at 5:00. And it just really wasn't my thing. So, decided to, branch out on my own, found this wonderful thing called WordPress, had a couple of people that kept asking me to build websites for them, and it just kind of grew from there.
So really two major moments in your journey. I mean, deciding to become a full-time entrepreneur, that's a gut-wrenching decision. I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
And then a couple years later, then deciding to become a full-time RVer. I mean, that's that's quite a journey. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So how did you, you know, a lot of people go to work for themselves, right, and start working from home and building a business. But not a lot of people, especially when you probably started doing it, are saying, hey, I'm going to do that in an RV. So where did you kind of think about, how did that thought pop into your head?
Well, I don't know that the thought popped into my head. My brother-in-law came home for a visit. He's worked for 25 years in Saudi Arabia. He's now retired. He was about, I guess he was about a year out from retirement. And he came back, he and my sister-in-law, and they were telling us about this idea they had. They said, hey, look, we're gonna buy an RV once we retire, and we're just going to travel. We're going to travel all over the country, see awesome places. And when he said that, I just thought to myself, I thought, and that sounds amazing. You know, we can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time, my wife was contracting with a firm here locally. She went into the office 4 days a week, worked from home 1 day a week. And I, you know, I'm the crazy entrepreneur husband. I told her, well, if you're working 1 day a week from, you can work 5 days a week from there. So that's kind of how the idea came to me. It wasn't like I just, oh, let's do this. And it just was a random conversation with my brother-in-law. I thought it sounded like a fascinating idea. And then ultimately what pushed me over the edge is that, you know, as you get older, you realize that 90 years on planet Earth is not a long time. It seems like a really long time when you're young, but as you get older, you realize that life is precious and it's short. And that ultimately was the decision, the deciding factor for both myself and Lisa was life is short. Why don't we just give this thing a try?
I think that what you just, you know, talked about is something I've heard before, where people first start thinking about the idea for retirement. And then they start thinking, why am I waiting for retirement, right, to do something that seems it's like it's what I want to do. And so it sounds like Lisa kind of got on board pretty quickly. Is that true? Or did it take a little bit of time?
No. She was not on board quickly, but it took some time. You know, I presented it to her and I said, you know, would you like to consider this? I think we can do it. I'm a technical guy. I can get you set up. I promise you'll be able to work from anywhere. It's no different than, you know, the 1 day a week that you're doing at home. And she's very much doesn't like change. She's a shy, introverted person. I'm the total opposite, extreme extrovert, a lot of faith, walk off a cliff, you know, with no safety net, you know, to try something that I want to try. Well, I started watching a lot of listening to you guys' podcast. That's how I found you, by the way, when I started researching this. I also started watching YouTube channels like Gone with the Winds. And as I was watching them, she started watching them. And then I think she saw the possibility that it could happen and it was feasible and doable. And then all of a sudden, she started getting excited about the possibility of traveling full time, working from amazing places, and living that type of lifestyle. So it wasn't immediate for her. It was a transition. And I want to say that it took almost a year before she was on board. I have a funny story that I'll tell you later in regards to that, unless you want me to tell it now.
Well, if Lisa's okay with the funny story being told now, we'd love to
hear it. We want the funny story now.
Oh, no. She's perfectly okay with it. You know, as we're making this transition and we decided to put our house up for sale, we actually had two houses at the time. So both of them needed to sell before we could transition into this life. We put our homes up for sale in, I want to say it was June of 2015. And, you know, we figured summertime was a good time to sell the house. Well, we went through the summer, crickets. You know, we had one person look at the houses. The end of August rolled around. We had been planning on going to a big RV show in Dallas, Texas, the third weekend of September, September 17th. And September 1st rolled around, or right around there. It was a Monday, is all I recall. She just made the offhand comment of, wow, I just really wish our houses would have sold. We could have went to the RV show, bought an RV, and started this journey, you know, started our life. And I kind of laughed. I said, well, that's not happening because the houses have been on the market for 3 months. We've had one person look at them. There's no way that this is going to happen in less than 3 weeks. Well, that was a Monday. Tuesday, she calls me and said, Gail from the office is moving into a three-bedroom. She lived in a one-bedroom, and she said she needs more furniture to furnish this three-bedroom. Would it be okay if I bring her home to look at all of our, you know, the stuff that we're not going to need whenever we do go full-time? And I said, absolutely, but, you know, just let her know that she can't have it until we actually sell the houses and have a place to stay. And Gail came over on Tuesday, and she bought everything in the house. All furniture, all the living room, the bedrooms, everything. And I thought, oh, wow. My phone rang, started ringing. I had three scheduled appointments to show the house. My phone rang on Tuesday, that same day. I scheduled to show the house on Wednesday. Wednesday came, showed the house. Thursday, had three contracts on both houses. The first one closed on the 16th. The day before the RV show. The second one closed the Monday afterwards. I think it was the 20th of the RV show. So if there's whatever you believe in, God,
I was just going to ask you, like, it must have really felt like your destiny in a very powerful way.
We felt like it was destiny. We felt like, oh wow, you know, okay, we're getting the signs, you know, they're all around us. And, and that's kind of, you know, to me, it was kind of a funny yet amazing story for the start of our full-time journey.
But I need another part of the story that you didn't tell. Did you buy an RV at that RV show?
We did not. Okay. No, we did. We had been, obviously, we had been researching for a year, and we kind of had an idea of what we wanted. And we were really wanting to see some grand designs. And the grand design fifth wheel, the ones we wanted, which was the toy hauler that we were really interested in, weren't at the show. I think if they had grand design toy haulers there, we probably would have come out of the RV show with.
You were in the mood to buy.
All right, we were. We didn't have a place. We became homeless. You know, that weekend, I mean, we sold both houses and we didn't have the RV yet. And we're like technically homeless. We're like, okay.
Now, this is such an emotional kind of roller coaster ride you're on already. But now you've got to buy an RV and grow your business. You know, your business is relatively new at this point in the grand scheme of things. So talk to us about your business and how it's grown on the road and what all the different moving parts are of Aspen Grove Studios.
Yeah, you designed our website, but that's not the only thing you do, right?
Whew, wow. Yes, it was quite a journey. I am the CEO and co-founder of Aspen Grove Studios. We're a custom web development firm that builds custom websites with WordPress. We also specialized in the Divi theme, which is a theme by Elegant Themes. It's currently the number one WordPress theme in the world. I feel like a lot of my success, I'd love to tell you that I'm an absolute business genius. And, you know, I set out on this path to achieve all of these amazing things. And the truth is that I'm a very good executor, and I was in the right place at the right time for some of it. And then I could see opportunity, you know, and then I just went for it, basically. So Aspen Grove Studios, as I said, does custom websites, but we also create plugins and themes for WordPress as well, and we sell them. It was not something that was part of my plan. I fully expected to just build custom websites for clients. That's what I wanted to do, but as we built these little tools called plugins for WordPress, and they basically, if you're not a developer, they solve functionality problems. So we created this one little tool called the footer editor. You know, everybody in the footer credits of their website, it says copyright, you know, 2018, trademark by rvfta.com. And designers will like to put a backlink to their website in there where it'll say designed by Aspen Grove Studios, for example. Well, in order to achieve that that functionality, you had to dive into a PHP template. You had to know programming languages to go in and edit that. And it was just such a huge pain point because we did it on every website that we built. And I felt there just has to be a better way to do this. So we created this little plugin for WordPress that allowed you to edit that functionality using the WordPress WYSIWYG editor. So what you guys are probably familiar with creating a blog post or a podcast episode, the WYSIWYG editor where you have the text and the visual side, it's the same thing. So we basically wrote a plugin that allowed you to use that interface, which everybody was familiar with. And once they hit save, it automatically updated that footer.
Yeah. Letting us bloggers do what we need to do without knowing any of the stuff that you know.
Exactly. That's right. And we also added a dynamic feature to it to where it would auto-update the year, every year going forward, so that you didn't have to go in manually and change that. So, you know, we programmatically did it, and then quite a few people started asking us for if they could use it, you know. So, no problem, and word got out. One thing led to another, and we ended up, you know, selling this little plugin, and it was our first plugin that we built, and it was, almost 3 years ago, I guess, when we launched that plugin, and it sold, you know, now over 10,000 copies of the little plugin.
Kids out there listening, the sky is the limit.
Yeah.
Start solving problems,
that's
right?
That's how it started. I mean, we were scratching our own itch, basically, and we found out that, you know, a lot of other people had the same itch that they wanted scratched, and they were willing to pay, you know, $10 for this little plugin. So it was, it was pretty awesome. And I remember early on in the beginning, we weren't looking to build a product company or productizing our services, but I just saw that we had an audience and a user base because of the Divi Facebook groups, where we were very much, you know, an integral part in starting for Divi. We just saw an opportunity. I saw an opportunity that there was a hunger for, you know, these types of products, you know, child themes and themes, pre-made websites, plugins for specific functionality that they were having a hard time with, because a lot of these people were do-it-yourselfers. They were small business owners who couldn't afford a web developer to build a website. So they were watching YouTube all night and learning how to build a WordPress website. And they wanted to just tweak the functionality a little bit of their website, and they just couldn't because they weren't a developer. So I just saw a need, and we decided to try and fill it. And it's just been amazing, you know, how it's grown.
David, so something I love about you, you've just said we an hour a dozen times, if not 20 times. I think you said I twice. So who is the we and the hour, and how has that grown? I mean, you're a team person, and that's what I'm hearing, and that's part of what I like about you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's definitely not a me. It is very much a we. And I will tell you that as we're recording this, before we started recording this, I was a little bit emotional because I just came back from a week-long first company retreat where I actually got to meet some of these we in person for the first time. And they are located all around the world. My business partner is Corey Jenkins. He lives in Prescott, Arizona, and Corey's awesome. I mean, he and I are like a married couple. We were meant to be together.
David, let's point out that Corey also just bought his first pop-up camper.
Yes, Corey did.
It's a requirement if you work for David that you have to own an RV.
No, I like to think that working on our website actually led him to the purchase of his first pop-up camper. But that's just my version of events. I don't know if it would be his version of events.
Well, we're going to go with that, Stephanie, because I like that as well.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, Corey is awesome. He has a young family. He's got Cooper, who will be 5 in August, and he's got a son, Parker, 1, and a beautiful wife, Mandy. And they are that's the co-owner of our companies. Corey and I came together in 2014, we met in the Facebook groups because we found this new WordPress tool called Divi. We thought it was great, and we just started helping each other out. If he had things that I had already been through on client projects, he would ask me, and I would do the same. And we really kind of hit it off as friends and stuff. And I was really encouraging him to, consider creating products for this new thing, Divi, because I felt like there was going to be a market for it, and I felt like it was going to be a pretty big market long term. And then ultimately, we ended up deciding to partner, and we started scaling our company. I guess one of the things that we did, I knew the value of putting together a really, really good team. So Corey and I basically took very minimal from our company. Every bit that we made on the products, we reinvested into the company by hiring someone. So I don't think we took any money from the product side of our business for maybe even 18 months into it. Because our web development side, building custom websites for clients, sustained us. You know, it gave us the living. And then we saw the opportunity with the product side, and we just wanted to scale it. So as it was growing, instead of just going on nice vacations or taking a draw or a dividend, we decided to reinvest that into the company, and it's paid off greatly for us because now we have two front-end designers, developers in Poland who are phenomenal. They are awesome. Dominika's been working with us she's been working with me for a little over 3 years total. She's been working for us for 2 years as a contract, and then she came full-time with us a little over a year ago in January of 2017. So almost a year and a half.
All right. So I guess you can grow an incredibly successful business out of your RV.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. Let's come back in a second with more of David Blackman, and we're going to talk about the best parts of living as a digital nomad. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are back again with David Blackman, the CEO of Aspen Grove Studios, and more importantly, the designer, the genius behind RVFTA.com. And we love and adore him. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about David's favorite parts about life as a digital nomad. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And if you're planning on camping without sewer hookups, say, in your fifth wheel as a full-time digital nomad, you may want to snag yourself a Smart Tote 2 LX, which is going to allow you to use all of those conveniences.
There's no plug-in or app for flushing your black tank, David.
You can run the shower, you can use all the conveniences, and then you can empty out the gray water tanks, drive it to the dump station, and then carry on as usual. The auto stop level gauge prevents messy overfilling, and the handle can hook on to your big heavy-duty truck that I know David has as you carry it off to the dump station.
And now David knows what we're getting him for Christmas.
Oh, that's such a sweet gift. Are we getting him a Smart Tote too?
27 gallon.
All right. Visit thetford.com to get your own Smart Tote or visit the links in the show notes.
All right, David, let's talk like the highlights, the things that you love the most. And, you know, we were lucky enough to meet you recently in Texas, and I just did get the sense that you are loving life as a digital nomad. Not that it's perfect, but that you truly do love it. So what have been some of the highlights of your journey?
I think, you know, definitely the highest of highs has been meeting people. As you know, I'm very much an extrovert. I love exploring new places. I've always enjoyed driving. It's just been something that has set me at peace. It's been nothing for me to take off on a Saturday, drive through old small towns, and I just get a sense of comfort from doing that. So, you know, jumping in an RV and traveling around the country, seeing some of these amazing places like Yosemite and the Grand Canyon and, you know, the Florida's Panhandle, which is absolutely beautiful. The Smoky Mountains has been fantastic. But meeting people has been probably the highlight for me.
And you have developed, I think it's fair to say, you've developed a real community of friendships and bonds in the full-time RV community.
Yeah, absolutely. I've made some wonderful friends. In fact, this week I was in Sedona, as I said, with a couple of team members, and everybody left. It was only me left, and I was intentionally going to meet one of the full-time RVers that wanted to pick my brain that happened to be in Flagstaff. So we decided to meet at a coffee shop at a specific time. I showed up a few minutes early. I was ordering a coffee, you know, and I look to my left, and there's a guy walking over to throw something out at the in the trash, and it was Chris and Rachel, who I met in San Marcos, Texas, a year and a half earlier, that we had dinner, and we broke bread, and we became friends, and were friends on Facebook, and I knew they were at the Grand Canyon the day before, but I had no idea that they would be 2.5 hours south in Sedona in the same coffee shop that I was in, and we would randomly run into each other. It was pretty neat.
So it sounds like somebody who is naturally open to sort of meeting people and moving on and then keeping relationships going that way, they might be better suited for this kind of lifestyle than somebody who does maybe have difficulty kind of continually making those new relationships.
Absolutely, yeah, because my wife, as I said, is the total opposite of me, and it's hard. It's hard for her. It's been an adjustment because, you know, as an introvert, she needs to go deep with relationships, mm-hmm. And whereas I can meet someone, engage with them, get a lot of a sense of joy and comfort and awesomeness from it, where for her, it takes a while. So I know that it's been part of something that has been difficult for her. So I agree.
Yeah. Now, David, you know, it's interesting to me that you kind of hit the road and grew a business at the same time. You know, and a lot of people, you know, would kind of maybe grow a huge business when they're living at home and then maybe put it on auto, you know, play or something while they were exploring. Do you actually think that you were more successful in some ways? You know, do you think that your lifestyle and going full time actually helped you grow this business in any way, that it kind of gave you that fuel to kind of figure it all out?
Absolutely. I definitely think that it benefited me. How it benefited me was I was able to network with people in my industry, whereas it would have cost, I would have had to, you know, budgeted and watched every penny because I would have been flying and hotels and accommodations. I was able to attend quite a few events, and I kind of planned our traveling around so that I would be in the areas of specific events that I wanted to target, conferences, for example, word camps, where I would be able to meet and network with successful WordPress companies so that I could either, you know, partner with them, build a relationship with them, or learn from them. So I definitely think that it helped me greatly being on the road and full-timing and those reports.
That's so insightful. I mean, Stephanie and I are always struggling to get to a conference or to go to this event or that event. But as a full-time RVer, you can go to where the action is in your industry or in your field. So, David, what surprised you? What did you not expect as a full-time RVer, as a digital nomad? Happy surprises for this segment.
I think what surprised me was the thing that I fully expected. I fully expected to be awed and inspired by our beautiful country. But what I did not expect was the feeling when I would come out of these national parks and these amazing public lands that we have in the U.S. with this sense of feeling that everybody in our country should see these. And I know that the majority of the people that live in the United States never get to see these amazing places. Every time I left a national park like Yosemite or Sequoia National Park or the Grand Canyon, which you hear about growing up, you hear about, you know, it's vacation destinations and stuff, but there's so many more places than just those. But when I would leave them, I felt I would just left in awe that everybody in the United States should be able to see this, and they should come to see it.
See America so first.
That surprised me.
I mean, yeah, I feel that way every time. I've been blessed enough to bring my young children to so many places in their short life, and I always am looking at them, and I'm thinking, you guys don't know how lucky you are.
Like, but they will one day.
Right. Like, I'm like, I do. I think that all the time, because I do think it's having such an impact on them as just growing up to see so many just gorgeous places.
And our country never stops surprising you. When we went to Texas and met you, I was like, oh my God, I thought it would be good. I didn't think it would be amazing, you know? Yeah. All right, David, thank you so much. We're going to come back with one more segment with David Blackman. We're going to talk about some hiccups on the road to becoming a successful digital nomad. And then we'll let him say something happy and positive
David's
to wrap it all up.
A good run of it here, but we really want to help people and serve people he's willing to share some of the nitty gritty parts.
Hard decision to make, so people should be well equipped to make it, right? Yeah. And David's helping us do that. All right, stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I could talk to David Blackman all day. I could do 10 segments with David Blackman, but we're only going to do 3. And now we're going to talk about some of the hiccups of being a full-time RVer and a digital nomad. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted RV rental marketplace, and they're making it easy to make a little scratch renting out your RV. And now you can rent through Outdoorsy in the United States and Canada. Now, you have a few options out there for renting your RV. So what makes Outdoorsy different? Well, they have a $1 million insurance policy that's going to cover owners, and they also have roadside assistance.
They have their act together. Yeah. They just really do.
That just about sums it up. So you can also get automatic DMV background checks, which is a big win for owners when they're worried about renting out their
precious RV. I was approved immediately.
Yeah, you passed yours, thank goodness. Now, we also love the owner support. They have checklists for pre-arrival and departure, and plus there's a Facebook group. So you can go over to outdoorsy.com/list-your-RV for more information today.
All right, David, welcome back to the show.
Hey, glad to be here.
All right, now we're going to get nitty-gritty here.
Nitty-gritty, and then we'll end with rainbows and bunny rabbits and stuff like that. So what's been the most difficult challenges for not just running a business, but growing a business full-time out of your RV?
Wow, there has been lots of them. But before I dive into that, Jeremy, I love your last sponsor. I met Ryan Quinn this past year with Outdoorsy. He was one of my favorite talks at a conference we were at together. So I'm just going to give Ryan a shout out and you guys a thumbs up before I
answer. Absolutely. We love Outdoorsy too. We really think that it's a great experience.
Checks in the mail, David.
All right. I think for me personally, what has been the most difficult and what I really didn't know was the logistics, you know, constantly having to plan out where you're going to be, where you're going to stay. I think, you know, because RVing is becoming more and more and more popular, mainly because of great shows like yours, it can book up fast, you know. So logistics, I think, for me has been the most difficult thing, having to plan out so far ahead. And then if you have to pivot last minute, you know, there could be a problem with getting a place to stay, especially with a rig as large as ours.
Has that caused you to become a bit more stationary and stay at places for longer periods of time? Or are you still really moving around a lot, following the conferences, letting your business take you where it takes you?
Well, I'm going to answer that question honestly. we have slowed down quite a bit, but it's not been because of necessity. It's been because we've wanted to. The first year we blazed through and we moved every week and every few days and we'd go from here because we wanted to see everything. The last couple of years we have really slowed down and actually enjoy staying in a place longer, realizing that, you know, we've got plenty of time. We don't have to see everything in 12 months, although I have friends that have done that. I think part of the decision to do that was because it is so hard getting reservations and staying on top of it. But it wasn't necessarily a bad thing because we've enjoyed staying in Cloudcroft, New Mexico on the top of a, 9,500 foot peak mountain for 30 days. You know, it's been awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of places like that
sounds pretty awesome.
I would have liked to
say, I'm with you. I mean, if Stephanie and I ever go full time, I'm not going to rush. I want to really experience a place, and I don't want to be busting from place to place to place. I would do the exact same thing with no apologies. You want to talk about David's rig?
I do. So, David, can you rig choice for people who are looking to actually work right out of their RV and grow a business, even not just maybe sustain their lifestyle? Rig choice is probably more important in some ways. So can you tell us what you have now and, you know, kind of just tell us about whether it works for you and maybe some of the things that haven't worked so well for you?
Yeah, well, we currently have the same rig that we started with almost 3 years ago. We have a Redwood RV. It's about 39 feet long total length. It's a fifth wheel, and it's like a mini, really nice apartment. My wife is a glamper and not a camper. She's not a tent camper. I was a tent camper. So, you know, I wanted her to be comfortable and stuff. And this is really comfortable. It's nice. It's big. Now, the downside of that is it's big. You can't go as many places. You're not as mobile or agile. Even though we pull it with a truck, the truck is very big. You know, we've got a Ford F-450, which is a 1.5-ton long wheelbase. So when you're going up
was
in the mountains.
Was that a King Ranch, David?
It's actually a Platinum. It's one above the King
Ranch.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
Don't downgrade
I apologize. This is an XLT guy interviewing you right now.
No, I bought it online. You know, it's funny. You look at our truck and our rig, and you would think that I specifically bought them because they matched so well. But I actually bought the truck in Waco, Texas, used, and I bought the RV used in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And they're just, you know, I mean, they look like a perfect combination because of the maroon colors and stuff. So
now, David, we have people that listen that may not know why you're saying the big, you know, might have caused you some difficulties. Could you just be a little more specific and dive into some of the issues, you know, you might have faced?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I fell in love with the national parks and a lot of state parks. Well, we're unable to stay in them. You know, they have limits, size limits that, you can't go in. Now, not only do they not have places for you to stay, but getting to them with switchbacks and all of the curves and mountain roads and mountain passes, you can't take something that's, in essence, 65 feet long. It's like an 18-wheeler. So you're very limited on where you can go. So for Yosemite, for example, we had to stay, you know, it was an hour and a half one-way drive just to get into the park where we had to stay. So ideally, I would have loved to have been able to stay in Yosemite and experience the entire Yosemite experience. But because our rig was so big, you know, so there are, you know, pros and cons. We have the comfort of a home. We've got a washer and dryer. We've got a dishwasher. We've got all the things that you would have in a normal home. But, you know, we're limited on places where we can go.
Is so this it's kind creating of a tension in your life, in terms of what your wife wants and what you want? I mean, I hear you as somebody who might be happy in a 28-foot or 25-foot RV.
I would, absolutely. I've tried to talk her into going smaller. I would love to get that new Winnebago Revel, the four-wheel drive one.
David, that's really too small. Stop it.
But Lisa's like, not even going to happen, buddy.
Yeah.
No, not going
to
happen.
I'll get one of those if it's just going to be me traveling to the national park. All right. Well, okay, let's talk. we've gotten a little personal, and we appreciate you sharing your life with us. But we also know that you've welcomed a grandbaby recently into the world. And I'm sure that family is one of those things that is also, you know, creates some difficulties or at least some, you know, some tricky situations for people who are digital nomads and who are working on the road and have flexibility. How has that changed the dynamic for you being a full-time RVer and having that pull, you know, to family and to home?
Yeah, well, there's good and bad, Stephanie. The good news is that, you know, when the kids are moved out and stuff, when you're full timing, they can't move back in as easily because you're gone. But you're right in the fact that we did just have a new grandson, William, in November. And, you know, it is difficult to be away from them when they are at that age because they're awesome. You know, it's just it's a very fun age and stuff. So it is. Now, we do winter and spend probably 4 to 5 months here, home, which is Louisiana. Right. So we see quite a bit of them. And then when we do travel, we fly them out to us. You know, a lot of times we'll fly the kids and grandkids out. We'll, if we're near Disneyland or Disney World or whatever, and they'll come and visit us and spend time with us.
That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. I like that situation.
So where do you see this journey going in the future as a digital nomad and a full-time RVer?
I think long term, you know, I think Lisa would like to have a home base near the kids. So I see us purchasing some property, having at least one, if not two houses there, and moving, you know, her son, Cody, and Jenny, you know, with William, you know, to take care of the place while we're gone, you know, and then we travel 6 months out of the year. And we come back home and we have a home base. That's where I see it long term.
That sounds like a great plan.
You know, David, it's so interesting. Your story really makes me think that there's this natural, like, little sweet spot for a lot of people, right? Retirement is so much later than it used to be for people. You know, people are just working and working and working. But, you know, your kids go off to college. In that time, when, you know, they haven't yet married and had grandkids yet, and you're still working, like, it does seem like it's this natural, wonderful time to go out and do some exploring, right? You've, like, worked a lot of your life. You've raised your kids. They're often doing their own thing.
Can I hold you to this?
You don't have to hold me to anything. I told Jeremy, I'm the one that told him, the day we send Wes to college, I'm putting the house on the market because I can't have anybody come home. Like, nobody can come
That's
back.
Right.
Like,
well, you say that. Let me warn you, Stephanie.
I know.
Our first 6 months, you know, full timing, our children thought we were on vacation.
Right.
And I think we had 2 or 3 weeks out of the first 6 months where we didn't have an RV full of kids and grandkids.
You were a vacation house on wheels.
Which was awesome, but it was very difficult, especially working, because we're not retired yet.
Right.
We did need to work, so it was challenging.
All right. Now, David, if any of our listeners need a really beautiful, beautiful website and want to work with, like, the best website development company in the world, where can
David,
they find
you? I say this not as a joke. You made us feel like, you know, we were your only clients. And I know that you have other clients. So, yeah, where can anybody else find you guys?
Well, you can find us at aspengrovestudios.com. That's our website. And, you know, send an email to either David or info@aspengrovestudios.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, but I never tweet.
That's a good situation to be in, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think a lot of people.
I'm on Instagram, and, you know, I love getting followers and watching everybody, but the truth is, if you follow me, it's not going to be that exciting because I post, like, you know, randomly, unless I'm at a conference, and then I'll blast like 50 posts in a day.
Well, and you're then too I'll go busy. You're too busy doing stuff for other people. Well, David, I'm going to put the links to all of your information in the show notes for this episode at rvfta.com. It has been a serious blessing and pleasure for us to get to know you and to work with you. And we really wish that same blessing to other people.
And it's just the beginning of our journey working with you, I hope. So.
All right, David, absolutely. Hopefully someday. Yeah. Actually, we have seen you at the campground.
We have. We've shared tacos.
And we'll see you there before. Yeah. And we'll see you there again.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, David.
Bye.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a big thank you to David Blackman, the CEO of Aspen Grove Studios and one of our favorite people on planet Earth. I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as we did. Now it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by the fine folks at Go RVing.
9 years ago, our family started RVing because we had time to travel, but our budget was tight. And if you're wondering if RVing is an affordable option for you, head on over to GoRVing.com and click on the affordability tab. So they've got lots of tools there that will help you discover how RV travel can be more economical than other types of vacations.
Cheaper than a cruise.
It really is.
Cheaper than renting a house. Cheaper than a hotel room.
We could never afford to travel like we do any other way. You're also going to find valuable information on the ins and outs of buying and renting an RV and how the latest models of RVs are designed to be more fuel efficient. They have expert advice on purchasing RV insurance, and we personally know from experience of 9 years that we've been able to travel more and spend less because we have our RV.
Like you said, we would never do 30 nights a year in a hotel room. Wouldn't happen for our family.
To discover how affordable the RV vacation can be for your family, head on over to GoRVing.com and find your way. Go RVing.
And follow them on Instagram and YouTube and all those other places too. They're everywhere. All right, the RVFTA News Roundup there. Don't forget to head on over to rvfta.com. Check out our newly redesigned website, newly redesigned by David Blackman, the star of today's show. And we've got a ton of great RVing content over there. That doesn't make its way onto the podcast. There's a whole other world of stuff there.
And speaking of content over there, some of it is user generated. So we have a place where you can leave your own campground reviews, and a big shout out to all of our listeners who have done that already.
DJ Odom.
Yes. And DJ Odom left us a couple of Mississippi State Park campground reviews. And that's just so helpful, right? You guys, so many of you are experts on your local state parks and the things that are right around you. And you want to share that with other people in the RVFTA community. This is the perfect way to do it.
And a pin shows up on a map of the country, so you can zoom into your particular area.
You can upload pictures. It's a fun way to share your favorite places.
Also, if you want to join the friendliest RV Facebook group, that would be RVFTA, the group, where
everyone's
like kind and generous, and there's not all kinds of nasty
David's
arguments.
In the group.
David's in the group. And a huge thank you to Chef Stan, who recently left us the 5-star review over on iTunes. He said that he's a single tent camping dad who's in the market for a pop-up. And he said in his review that the podcast is helping him a lot make a choice about an RV purchase. So thank you, Chef Stan. If you enjoy this show, we would appreciate it if you'd head on over to iTunes and drop us a review. We sure do love
Chef Stan, make sure you tell us when you get that pop-up.
Yeah, let us know, Chef Stan.
There's
maybe you can cook
nothing like an RV adventure that starts out with a pop-up camper. Feels real to me.
It does.
It touches me. It does. My memories, exactly. All right, everybody.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.